It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena. Methil Goff, how are you this morning?
Ata Marie, I'm doing really fine, thanks, Rachel. The sun's shining and our lakes are 92% full, so we're getting
nice.
The best of both worlds.
That is good. It's nice to have a change from usually when we talk about the lakes. It's good to see that they're looking pretty staunch at the moment.
Well, they're above average, actually, now, historically. So this week we're looking to remove the remaining restrictions on water use, which are pretty light anyway.
Cool.
But we don't want people to take the message from that, oh, we can go back to wasting water. If you waste water, it's bad for the environment and it costs you money. So the message is keep on making the savings where you can. It's good for you, it's good for the environment, but we have got a guaranteed supply of water through this summer, and with the extra, I think we've put on another 100 million litres a day supply, and we've stopped about 9 million litres a day in leakage from Watercare's own water pipes, and Aucklanders have saved a massive 20 billion litres in water.
That is 20 fantastic.
20 billion litres, yeah.
Well, moving from water to the other thing we've talked a lot about this year, unsurprisingly, COVID. And we've seen some probably not unexpected announcements from the government yesterday. We've got two more weeks of this particular stage of level three for Tāmaki Makaurau, at least. And we're also going to be seeing across this week some announcements from the government about specific targets, and also on Friday, an indication of what the future is going to look like in a more long-term sense when we do start to get to a stage where we have extremely high vaccination rates and more quote-unquote normal life returning. So what is the key takeaway from this at the moment? Obviously, to stay where we are, keep doing the right things, but how do you feel Aucklanders are handling it at the moment?
I think, just listening to some vox pops this morning, there's a mixture of views. Obviously, everybody wants to get back to life without restrictions, and particularly we want that to happen before Christmas so we can enjoy our summer holidays. But nobody I've talked to really wants to see Auckland go down the track of Melbourne and Sydney, where they were getting up to 2,300 new cases a day, thousands of people hospitalised and dozens of people dying. So it's finding, there's no easy or perfect solution to a pandemic, but it's finding that middle way. Look, I was against going back to alert level four, because that meant taking 300,000 people out of their workplaces, affecting people's incomes, affecting the finances of and the economy of the city, and long-term costs there. And there was no evidence, because I talked to epidemiologists about this, there was no evidence that people in the workplace were spreading the virus, or indeed that people having outdoor picnics, keeping to the rules, were spreading the virus. The virus is being spread through households coming together and people breaking the rules. A bit like that bloody party on the North Shore on the weekend, which I won't rave on about now, or Brian Tāmaki and his mates in the Domain. So not going back to level four was good. Staying at level three, well, God, we're all getting weary. It will have been 11 weeks by the time we come to the end of this two-week period. But that is buying time. It's buying time for people to get vaccinated. And well done, Tāmaki Makaurau, on Saturday, 41,000 vaccinations. I went right over the city, and it was just a great festive atmosphere, everywhere from the North Shore to West Auckland to Central Auckland to South Auckland. And this was really the team of 5 million. The other outliers are the exceptions, the ones that are rowing in the opposite direction.
So this is something that has been, fantastic to see that number of vaccinations happening on Saturday, and also, slowly we're just seeing those numbers increase, which is great news. The government has indicated that they're going to be setting a very high threshold for vaccination on Friday, and that also there'll be restrictions to pretty much a lot of facets of everyday living for those who are unvaccinated. What do you think we're going to see, or what would you like to see from some of these announcements from the government later this week?
Yeah, what do I think we're going to see? My guess is that they might set a target of 90% double vaccinated. Now, given that not everybody that gets the first shot goes on to have the second one, that would mean that you would have to have a first shot vaccination rate of about 94-95%. Now, that is truly aspirational. It'd be great if we can get there, and, you know, we should do everything we can, you know, get those camper vans out going around the back areas, rural and urban, where there's low vaccination levels, using the records we have from the district health boards to target people who haven't been vaccinated. So we can get the people who are hesitant by, you know, having a conversation, explaining, encouraging them. But I think there also has to be a sanction if you choose not to be vaccinated. Now, look, if you've got health reasons why you can't be vaccinated, everybody understands that. And actually, that's the very group of people, plus the kids that we're trying to protect. But if you're not vaccinated simply because you can't be bothered, or because you have some, you know, conspiracy theory about vaccination and refuse to do it, well, look, we're not going to wait for the last person to be vaccinated in order to lower restrictions. I'm sorry, those people who choose not to be vaccinated, when we lower the restrictions, we'll have to take their chances. And those are the people that will end up in hospital, and those are the people that will end up dying from it.
We are sort of seeing, though, that there is still a lot of catching up work to do with certain specific groups of the population where there is perhaps more ongoing and intergenerational reasons for hesitancy around vaccination. And that's something that, you know, in the space of however many weeks we've been in this lockdown and the ramping up of the vaccination rate, it's a very quick turnaround to try and get that messaging across. Do you think we're seeing enough resourcing from the government and also from the council as well in supporting those initiatives to help target some of the more hesitant groups in the population that we've been seeing over the last few weeks?
Yeah, that's definitely happening. Part of last Saturday was at the Papakura Marae and also at the Otara market site. We've made good progress. I mean, Māori just a couple of weeks ago were 56% first vax. Now they're 71%. PI were about 61, 62. They're now 79% first vax. So that's good, but it's still not good enough. And we're going to have to ramp up those efforts, because the very communities that are low vaccination are the same communities that are most likely to suffer from the effects of the pandemic. So we've got to get to those people. And as I said before, the government's in one sense buying time while it's pulling out the stops to get to those groups. And I was a bit concerned to hear the mayor of the far north saying he was just going to encourage, but he wasn't going to put much pressure on. And then I heard somebody say, well, you know, Auckland's boundaries can't come down, because even if we're highly vaccinated, we've still got it, and if Northland isn't, we can't afford to spread it to Northland. Well, that would be adding insult to injury to us, you know, having the boundaries up there, not because but because of others.
Are we seeing conversations between, I mean, like the mayors of different cities around the country? Are you speaking with other leaders in different parts of the country about how they're managing their rollout? Is that something that you're doing at the moment, Phil?
Yeah, and generally people are on side, you know, with the exception of the mayor of Thames Coromandel, who has some reason why she won't get vaccinated, which
is
I think is poor
though,
leadership.
Is this something, though, that you as the mayor are reaching out to your colleagues in these spaces? Is that something that you're doing or you're going to be doing?
Yeah, we do have conversations, but my focus obviously is making sure that Auckland performs to its very best in getting those people vaccinated. Now, I didn't answer the last part of your earlier question, which was, well, what happens to those that aren't vaccinated? Well, you know, it will mean that there are certain things, if you choose not to be vaccinated, that you can't do. You won't be able to turn up at a stadium for a rugby match or a netball function. You won't be able to go to a concert with large numbers. There'll be many employers, an increasing number of employers, that will say, if you're not vaccinated and you've got a public-facing role, I'm sorry, you can't work here. And there'll be hospitality outlets that will say, well, for the sake of the safety of our staff and all of the other customers here, you'll have to show your vaccine certificate before you can be in a crowded bar or a crowded restaurant. So, you know, I think that will be one factor, and I've heard a few people say it publicly, I couldn't be bothered and I didn't really like the idea of getting injected, but hey, if it's about my job or about being able to go to these things, yeah, I guess I'll do it. Well, I think we have to use those sort of incentives as well. I mean, frankly, you know, we all owe it to each other, and particularly we owe it to our kids who can't be vaccinated and to people who for medical reasons can't be vaccinated, to provide that herd immunity by those of us that can be vaccinated, getting it done. That's now, really important.
Now, I did just want to talk about something that is a little bit separate to this, but there is a link here. And we've had some questions from our listeners about what's actually happening with parking in Auckland, and particularly in the centre of Auckland at the moment. Now, we've seen some news stories recently about the council coming in and clamping down on illegal parking, but we've also actually just had quite a lot of questions about getting warning tickets in the centre of town. Now, last year, when we were in level 3 and level 4, there was an understanding that there was free parking in these central city spaces, particularly so that essential workers could get to and from their places of employment. We also saw on the weekend a fantastic initiative to have free public transport to get people to vaccination centres. So what's happening with parking at the moment? Do people have to pay for it? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, you're right. In the last lockdowns at level 4 and level 3, we had a position of not enforcing infringements through Auckland Transport. This level 3 has been a bit different, and what we've seen is evidence, and I can see it all around where I'm working. You know, streets like Federal Street and Elliott Street and Fort Street, where people were abusing that and parking on the footpath, obstructing the ability of people to walk and cycle and get around. So as of Monday last week, we started issuing warnings, and as of Friday last week, we have gone back to fully enforcing parking restrictions. There's tons of parking in town and the parking buildings. There's no reason for people to be parking in a way that obstruct others going about their business.
Well, we've had messages from listeners, though, who've just been parking in normal car parks that they were assuming were free because of the conversations that we were having with the council last year about that free parking space, who've been getting warning tickets. Now, should people be charged for parking at a time like this when we do want to get people into town to get vaccinated their essential service jobs? What's going on there?
There is no reason why people can't find parking in town at the moment, particularly with a lot of office workers not being in town. So, yes, you, it's the same thing that would normally apply. You know, you use a parking building, you pay for it. You don't park where you're not allowed to park, because that has implications for other users of our streets, particularly pedestrians and cyclists.
But in the council parking spaces, so on-street parking, there is a fee at the moment. Is that correct?
That's right. We would. My understanding is that we would. We are enforcing where you cannot and should not park. But my understanding is that they are also looking. If people have been getting warnings because they haven't put money into the meter, then they need to go back to doing that.
Now, why have we decided to move back to this at the moment? Why has the council decided that this level 3 we're going to be charging folks, whereas last level 3 we weren't doing that?
Well, it's about, we always actually had that you shouldn't park in places where you were obstructing other people.
But in normal car parking spaces?
In normal car parking spaces.
Regular council car parks?
I can't see, and you need to check with AT or what they're doing there. My focus has been on people parking where they shouldn't park. But there's no particular reason, I think, why people shouldn't just be paying their normal parking costs when they park in a metered area.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Gough. It's great to chat to you. There's a lot to get through at the moment.
I'm
sure there'll be plenty more to talk about next week when we hear the government's announcements on Friday.
A little bit more help to our businesses that are really feeling the pressure because they don't have any income and they still have outgoings. So that's good news too, and we're looking forward to that announcement on Friday.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. Have a lovely rest of your week, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.